Welcome to Radio. I'm Shake Yuna. Before we get started, I just wanted to take care of some housekeeping issues. As some listeners have noticed, certain podcast platforms allow the sending of voice messages to me directly, which I really love listening to. But I can't respond to questions in these messages unless you leave an email address. There just isn't a reply function on my end. So to Taylor, I use a Sterling Audio ST55 condenser mic, a Xenix 1202 mixer, and Adobe Audition. I hope this helps. Today's story, a continuation of the previous one, further follows the escaped android in her first interactions with people. Please enjoy the latter half of Fragments of a Whole by Pokey. War. Once more, as she skipped through dirt paths and in between mighty roots of trees, she checked her databanks. There were mentions of a great war currently underheld, a separation between ally and enemy, with the latter being painted in ways that she didn't quite understand. She had been made for the purpose of harming, a creature specially and uniquely designed to kill and maim. This did not concern her, for it was merely another facet of her being. What did, however, was the reason behind it. From her data, she could see that humanity was at another crucial step in the crossroad of their evolution as a species. She had some history of the world, but a lot of it didn't make sense. Events had been clearly altered to instill a sense of nationality and xenophobia. But why? Did her brethren truly need a reason to fight? To be motivated into killing each other? She attempted to access her neural network and was quickly faced with a new concern. In order to piece together the true history of the world, she would require connection to an international net, and she could not connect to the larger access of international information without revealing herself to the ones that were, more than likely, actively seeking her. And this much she understood and put into practice in a matter of seconds. She grabbed one of the chips from her storage unit, looking into it and halting next to a tree. After a few moments, she uncovered the silky locks of hair from her right temple, a tiny little hole opening from beneath the triple layer of ceramic, metal, and liquid crystal. With little fanfare, she inserted the piece, and saw strings of code flow rapidly across her field of view. After a few seconds of this ordeal, a single headline popped at the center of her vision. Installation complete. Beginning geoscan of the surrounding area. A holographic map quickly expanded in front of her. Said map was not present to any who may be watching, but rather was an illusion of augmented reality, just for her. She brought her hands upwards and began to manipulate it. She could see terrain in depth, as well as her current approximated location. She was standing in the middle of a patch of forest, the map showing the beach, the surrounding area, as well as what looked to be a town not too far away. Holographic images resembled that of an early 2000s town. Simple infrastructure, nothing too big, but not too small. By her databanks, this meant the town was rather behind the times. No platforms, no extra metropolitan areas, nothing much of note to the cities whose images remained in her systems. She considered her options. Should she go to a place of human civilization? She'd been swimming for a few hours, and from the geographical info that she'd received at the time, it seemed as though she had covered quite the distance. After a few moments of quiet contemplation, she finally made a choice. She needed to see if the world truly was like the nonsensical propaganda she'd been instilled with. To see if this world was alive, just like her. With a decided step, she began her trek through the woods with renewed vigor. It wasn't long until she could see the woods begin to clear up in a rather jarring way. The way opened to concrete paths and vast clearings full of crops and livestock. She walked to one of the paths, and began to pass through it. Maybe it was childish, but she wanted to walk in the same way that the people of the town did, every single day. The fields of wheat were massive, enveloping the peripheries of her vision with tenuous gold that shone blue with the moon's light. Stars and constellations shone above her, and she began to name and count them. She had been given information on star charts and the like, perhaps to aid in navigation if her internal compass and geolocation systems were to fail. But now, that purpose had changed. Now she marveled at the thought of the heavens above, wondering who or what they may reside at any given time. She knew that the light from stars took hundreds, if not thousands, or even millions of years to reach the Earth. Humanity was alone on this Earth, perhaps even in the cosmos. And alone they had built others like them. But rather than give their children life, they stripped their want and sent them to war. She steeled herself and kept moving forward. Across the path she saw a number of things. Nocturnal rodents that crept from bushes, little animals that moved under the cover of moonlight, a variety of insects, as well as little pieces of glass and metal, hidden between stalks of wheat. The more she walked, the closer she got. And within a few minutes, she could see the first signs of civilization, just over the horizon. A rather noticeable sphere of light was visible, a dome around the top of what looked to be concrete and metal buildings. This light was not natural, and the further she approached, the less of the stars she could see. Maybe, due to the fact that they had made their own light, humanity had forgotten about the ones above. Their own little stars that prevented them from observing the ones above. To her, it felt rather tragic. Yet the neon and warm glow of this little town was a beautiful sight in and of itself. Perhaps humanity had found their own beauty. Maybe that's why they had blocked out the skies. But she wondered once more, would they rediscover this beauty? Further along, she could now discern the little town. It was like a pocket of urban civilization, a rather large entrance gate, paved and pretty. The archway was made of ancient cobblestone and red brick, and stood a few meters tall enough to let a massive cargo truck pass, and still have enough room for a man to touch the top while sitting on the shoulders of another. At the top of the arch, German letters were sculpted from iron, a couple hundred years old judging by the light tinge of rust.
Willkommen in Gotthofer,
the Golden Farm. The gate was metal and opened inwards. Once more she noticed the sheen of rust, indicating it had not been closed in a very, very long time. Beyond the gate, she could see paved streets lined with cars, some of them older designs from a few decades prior, and a few of cutting-edge make. The streets were lined with shops of all kinds, from your typical butcher, grocer, medic, to shops belonging to corporations and small businesses, specializing in technology of all kinds. She could see a few buildings, the tallest being around 4 or 5 stories tall, more than likely a studio of some kind. Lights were set up as wires of neon that crisscrossed from building to building in a clean zigzag pattern of multiple different colors. The place was vibrant and alive, even if its denizens were for the most part beyond the veil of sleep. She stepped across the gate, a place of particular interest in sight. Right behind the gate, and to her current right, a small cubicle built from concrete was set, the glint of the dimly tainted windows showing a screen with several camera feeds set. In front of it, the silhouette of a rather rotund individual leaned back in a chair, a guardsman's hat slightly askew on what seemed to be his forehead. With halted step, she approached the glass and pressed her nose against it, peering inside. The man was asleep, his shaded beard hanging against his neck, mouth agape, and a thin string of drool leaking from his lips. She felt a smile begin to take shape on her features, some light amusement over the comfy appearance of this rather rotund individual. She couldn't quite explain why, but the peaceful sleep he exhibited made her yearn for the same thing. If she dreamt, would she dream of the real world? Or would she be submerged into one of electric sheep and running binary? Another thought for later. She pulled back from the window and began her way towards the town center. Through the nicely paved and mostly clean streets, she walked, and with the heels of her feet clicking against the stone and producing echoes that bound off alleys and walls. She looked around, paying close attention to the many signs and buildings that occupied the street. She saw many alleyways that led further into east and west, horizontally expanding the town. Medical offices, general store, tool shop, fishing supplies, grocer, tech shop, machinist, robot trade and repair. The list kept on and on. And every new and limited view into these worlds sparked her imagination with what may lie inside, a curiosity that manifested itself as pure blinding fire that grew more and more with each singular step. She made it to what she assumed to be the town square, a little park with minimal greenery, lit by bright yellow and white lights that added contrast and saturation at the colors present. She stood at the steps that led up to the grass, staring at the ancient fountain that ran water with a wonderfully satisfying sound. The constant hum of the pressurized liquid shot up through lead and stainless steel. To her left, a sudden noise shook her from the thoughts. Quickly turning her head to observe the cause of disturbance, she found that a hefty wooden door had been opened with rather booming gusto. A trio of gentlemen were walking from the spot, wearing a mix between casual and formal wear that piqued her interest. The three were of differing sizes, a fat and stubby one, a muscular one of average height, and a tall and lanky one that looked half a decade younger than his companions. They were all flushed a beet red, eyes half closed and mouths open wide as they sung a merry tune. They swung side to side, their legs kicking up in the air as high as their bodies would allow them, and in their jumbled, slurred speech, one could make out the comically butchered inklings of a currently popular song. Curious, she approached the three men with a tilt of her head. She stood much taller than two of them, on par with the tallest. As she approached, the muscular man in the middle opened his eyes, pulling the other two the moment he set eyes on her. The man at his right, fat and stubby, looked up towards him with the look of an insulted puppy. "Why are you stopping, man?" he spoke in slurred tones. Quickly he laid eyes on her and turned to his partners. The tall and lanky one, too, had stopped altogether. They quickly turned, crouching their heads and facing their backs towards this. She stifled a giggle, placing her hand in front of her mouth. Data stated this was a common trope for females in laughter.
"Hans, is this real?"
"What do you mean, is it real? Look at her. Total babe."
"Why is she wearing those clothes, though? Think she's a soldier?"
Oh, what if she's like an alien and stuffs?"
"Don't be ridiculous, Strauss."
"Ridiculous, Hans."
"Shut up and observe."
The three split apart, and the muscular man spun on his heel in a surprisingly graceful manner. Then, as he took the first of a set of valiant steps towards her, his feet began to swivel to one side, and he tumbled against the ground in a drunken heap. Right after him, the fat one scuttled towards her with tiny little steps. His dress shoes clicked and clacked with hollow echoes against the ground, similar to the skittering of a small dog. He approached her, his face red and slightly sweaty, and clicked his throat while raising his outstretched hand. His voice was tiny compared to the drum of his belly, and he spoke with a constant stuttering, even despite the removed inhibitions of alcohol.
"Hello, miss. My name is Durst. I am a denizen of this town. Why are you here, ma'am?"
She paused. Why was she here? Did she have a reason? No, she did not. That was the whole purpose of this quest, to find some meaning. She looked into the eyes of the drunken man and smiled amicably. "I was passing through, on a journey. Wanted to know where I can find lodging?" Her voice was stilted and stiff, to be expected. She didn't quite know how to talk to people just yet. The man looked at her, then to his friends, then back to her. After scratching at the messy mop of his brown hair, he finally turned his pudgy body to his companions. The tall one had helped the muscular one up, holding him steady. Durst spoke to the tall one.
"Hans, she's looking for a lodging. Some place to stay."
The lanky man furrowed his brows in confusion.
"So?"
The fat one spoke back, clenching his fists and leaning forward to talk just a bit louder.
"Well, she needs a place to sleep.
Where's the inn again?"
The muscular one, Strauss, spoke up after a mighty belch.
"I don't remember much. I think by east."
Hans nodded as he steadied the wobbly man with his long and skinny arms. He quickly pointed a finger towards a certain part of the plaza.
"Inn's right there, miss. Shame we can't show you around, but this guy over here's had too much to drink."
She smiled and gave out a nod before turning tail and walking where she had been directed towards. Behind her, the men chattered between each other. The one known as Strauss had passed out in the hands of Hans.
"So why did you change your mind, Durst?"
The fat man looked puzzled.
"Change my mind about what?"
The tall one furrowed his thin brows. About flirting with her. Wasn't that the whole reason we approached her? Score a hot one? The fat man raised a finger to speak, but quickly fell silent. After a moment of thought, his broad and reddened cheeks puffed, and he responded,
I didn't think of that. She looked lost, so I just wanted to help. That's all.
Hans let out a burst of laughter.
You're too goddamn good for this world, Durst. Could have at least gotten her number.
They raised their eyes to see her once more. She had a bit of an embarrassed smile on her face, an emotion that she did not yet understand. Sheepishly, she looked to the two men and spoke.
I don't have any money. I just need to access the network. Just find where.
The fat man handed her something. A small electronic chip.
Should have enough for one night.
She bowed her head in deep gratitude. Another concept she had yet to fully grasp. As they watched her walk away towards the traditional-looking inn, Durst looked towards his partner. Hans held a smirk as sleek as himself. Fidgeting once or twice under the scrutiny of his gaze, kind Durst raised his voice meekly.
Yes?
Hans began to walk. The muscular Strauss held steadily. The tall one's head had cleared.
Nothing. Never change, Durst.
Opening an oaken door, she heard a small electronic chime above her head as she entered the rustic inn. Inside, carpeted floors filled a rather large space. The walls had designs over them. Old paintings were placed in several spots, and brass lamps hung limply from the ceiling. In front of her, a young woman no older than 20 was leaning back against a chair, her hands drifting idly in the air. At her temple, a neurochip glowed a pretty neon pink. As she stepped towards the counter, the young woman lifted her eyes from her augmented task, looking towards the newcomer with a raised eyebrow. Her face was rather angular, with a pointed nose and thick, dark eyebrows. Her hair was braided on one side, highlights of several colors at the tips of her bangs. Her voice rang out, a fake customer service smile grazing her features. Her voice was slightly nasal.
May I help you, miss?
She nodded, placing the chip onto the counter. She mimicked the girl's smile.
I would like one room, please.
The girl raised an eyebrow before bringing out a rectangular piece of laminated glass. The glass lit up into colors, showcasing a number of plans and pricings. She picked the most simple one and pushed it towards the girl. The girl grabbed onto it and the unit chip, and after a few moments of dawdling, she set it back on the counter. Tapping invisible keys, the girl looked towards her.
Name?
She was struck.
Name?
She didn't have one. But she needed to, right?
Why didn't she have one? All humans had one. It's what gave them their identity, and for many, it defined their entire lives.
In a second, she thought of millions of possibilities, an innumerable amount of names crossing her mind like comets through the night sky. Finally, she arrived at one, and with a dazzling smile, she spoke.
Ray. My name is Ray.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Readio. Once again, Fragments of a Whole was written by Pokey, who can be found on Twitter at literate_gamer or on Discord at pokey_2223. Like I said at the top, if you send an audio message to me, please leave some contact info so I can reach you. Otherwise, there's no way to respond. If you want to just leave an audio message without looking for a response, that's totally an option as well. You can always DM me on Twitter at ShayKuna if you have a quick question or anything else. Readio is recorded, edited, and produced by me, ShayKuna. The intro and outro are The Storyteller, written by Lou Claver. Find more of her work at louclaver.bandcamp.com. That's louklaver. The logo was designed by Emily Cocotte. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving a review or telling a friend. If you want your short story read on the show, you can email me at shaykuna@gmail.com. Thanks again.